Johnson McMahon, and you recognize that name, the last name, that he's going to give us our scripture reading and give us our sermon.
Good morning. We're going to be reading Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 8 through 12. Short read, so I'll make sure people get a chance to get there, because I might be done reading before you get to the page. If you see the poor oppressed in a district, and justice and rights denied, do not be surprised at such things. For one official is eyed by a higher one, and over them both are others higher still. The increase from the land is taken by all. The king himself profits from the fields. Whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. This too is meaningless. As goods increase, so do those who consume them. And what benefit are they to the owners except to feast their eyes on them? The sleep of a laborer is sweet, whether they eat little or much. But as for the rich, their abundance permits them no sleep. Reading through Ecclesiastes can be somewhat depressing because Solomon holds no punches. He just lays it out and lets you know how real it is and how much evil there is out there. Which, that's not bad, because after all, God wants us as believers to be able to understand what's being said, to be able to take it to heart. So we don't need fancy writing, because then we won't be able to understand and take it to heart. So we can be grateful for how blunt Solomon gets with things. Now I'm going to start by focusing on verse 8 and 9. In fact, I'm only going to do verse 8 and 9, because as I was trying to finish this up Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, I'm looking at it and I'm going, you know, I think Wawa starts making the burgers at about 4. And if I do all this, we'll both get burgers when I'm done. So I cut it back to just verse 8 and 9. I warned my dad, so you know, I think he was getting ready to start doing 13 or something. Just got to backtrack a little bit. So I'm going to go back and read just verse 8 and 9 here so we can get our focus on just that. If you see the poor oppressed in a district, and justice and rights denied, do not be surprised at such things. It's kind of a rhetorical statement there, though. It's not actually a question, but the fact that he says if, it's kind of, it's not if, it's when. We will see that. For one official is eyed by a higher one, and over them both are others higher still. The increase from the land is taken by all. The king himself profits from the fields. So that's what we're just going to focus on. It's just those two verses right there. You know, mankind and all of its many generations and all of its many different cultures that there are throughout the world still sees the same thing. No matter how the government's set up, no matter what language they speak, no matter what part of the world they live in, it can be hot, it can be cold, doesn't matter, the government is still going to be the same. Some might be worse than others, some might be better than others, but you're still going to see the same thing happen, where the poor are oppressed and the justice and rights are denied. To some extent or another, you'll see that no matter where you are. Solomon's government is absolutely no exception. He's talking about himself in many ways. In his early days, he was a good ruler, but we know in many ways, and his government is just a portion of it, he was not necessarily a fair ruler. He was an oppressive ruler. You see, you know, if you continue on in the Bible and you start hearing about his son and kings, in Chronicles, his son inherited a very upset population. So Solomon's very much talking about himself as much as he is anybody else here. The fact is, our government, in its 200 plus years of history, has gone through similar situations where our government has done the same. And some may even say it's happening right now. So Solomon's talking about rulers. He's not saying it has to be the rulers of nations, And we can instinctively think that because that's what we do, we think of rulers, but this can actually be applied to more than just government. Now, if we look at how major businesses are run, sports organizations. Do the sports organizations, pro sports, do they really care about the poor? Is that why they charge $60, $70 to go see a game? They don't care about the poor. We even see within religious organizations, where sometimes even they don't care about the poor or those in a struggle. And the fact is that those that have a lot use those that have little for their own personal gain. We see it throughout Scripture. There's always poor. So when Solomon talks about being surprised, it's not really being surprised. Disappointing. But why are we like that? Why do we have a heart for the poor? Where does that come from? Well, let's jump into the New Testament. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 11, Jesus says, "The poor you will always have with you." In Luke 11, 41, he says, "Be generous to the poor." In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 9, Paul writes, "As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever." In Galatians chapter 2, verse 10, Paul writes, "All they ask was that we should continue to remember the poor, the very thing I had been eager to do all along." You see, as believers, our hearts have been trained by the example set before us to care for the poor. When we see people getting oppressed or not having money, that hurts our hearts because that's how God actually wants us to be. He has set out in Scripture and in examples of people have come before us to be that way and to care. And even in Solomon's day, he understands that because that's why he wrote about this. Be ready for it. It's happening. Don't be surprised. Jesus says in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free." Is this not a direct response to what Solomon just talked about people having to deal with? Jesus essentially just said, "I'm going to come, and all those things that Solomon said don't be surprised by, I'm going to come and I'm going to go against those. I'm going to fight against that. I'm going to take care of the poor. I'm going to take care of the oppressed." The poor are important to Jesus. And if they're important to Jesus, it should be important to us. I actually kind of chuckled. I was looking at the bulletin, and you guys have a list of ministries that you support. And I've worked at two of them, Rescue Mission and Ranch Hope. So when I talk about the poor or the oppressed, when I read about that, I can relate to that. I have seen very poor and very oppressed people of all ages and all backgrounds. There is no racialness in being poor or oppressed. There is no cultural issues. There is no age gap. It hits everybody. It is not selective. So neither should we be when we support the poor. But it's because of this heart that we've been given, that we really struggle when we see this, when we see governments or organizations, we see that it hurts our heart when it shows that they don't care, when they don't provide or protect those that God has put under them. But Solomon says something interesting in verse 9. And it's something we need to slow down when we read it. He states that the king himself profits from the field. And at first you go, yeah, of course. Like, person at the top gets a cut of everything. And Solomon's referring to earthly kings, rulers, presidents, prime ministers, whatever your form of government in the world happens to call them. But see, as people that believe in Jesus, we need to look at it from a spiritual perspective as well. Now, if we know Jesus, we need to know things a little bit differently, read them a little bit differently. And to us, who is king? In 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting in verse 13, says, "In the sight of God, who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus, who while testifying before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession, I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see, to him be honor and might forever." So who's king? God. Jesus comes and will come to serve as king. So who gets the prophet in the end? Every bit of prophet in this world winds up with Jesus. That's encouraging. Because what do we know Jesus wants to do with everything? Take care of the poor and the oppressed. So in Jesus' timing and in his ways, which I think we can all attest to the fact that it's often not our timing or our ways. Thankfully, it's not our timing or our ways. But he will get the prophet from the fields, and he will provide the poor. He will free the oppressed. We know at this point, with lots of things going on in the world, we're not really ever going to be surprised by seeing governments not take care of people. We're not going to be surprised when we see governments taking advantage of people. We're not going to be surprised by greed. But we can have hope. Hope that when that king gets that prophet, that king, that Jesus, will provide for those that are in need. And he's actually doing that now. If we sit back and we think about it, maybe he's trying to do that now through us. We don't know.
Amen.
But be conscious to it. While Solomon is referring to things from an earthly perspective, we do need to see things as a spiritual perspective. So we need to take all of this and apply that in a spiritual way. The rulers of the world do not want people to be spiritually rich. The rulers of the world want people to be spiritually poor. Because if you're spiritually poor, then you're dependent on earthly things. And you will do whatever somebody tells you to do to obtain earthly things. So if you don't have spiritual wealth, if you're spiritually poor, if they say jump, you will jump. If they say give us this, give us this. And so how they do that? Well, we don't have presidents come knock on our door and say, hey, I need you to do this. It's not how it works. They have subtle ways. They use things like money. They make gas prices go through the roof, and then we have to reconsider things. They use things like the media to try to tell us what we have to do to be okay. And they like to consume our time. And they do all of these things to make people lacking in spiritual love. You don't have spiritual love from your TV. You don't have spiritual love from your bank account. There's only one source of spiritual love. And that's Jesus. So that's what people truly need. When they're oppressed, they still need love. Even if they have money, they still need love. That's part of our job, part of our responsibility, to show Christ's love through ourselves, to make people spiritually rich as servants of God. Jesus is ready to come back against things done that aren't good for the poor, for those that are oppressed. He's ready and willing to use anybody that is willing to serve him. So we do have hope for the poor. We may need hope for ourselves. We may feel oppressed at our jobs. Or just in life in general, we may struggle with things, and we have hope because of Jesus. So as we read through what Solomon writes there, as you go through most of Ecclesiastes, you're going, oh man, this is tough. You have to remember, there's Jesus. And in him, we can have hope that the poor will be taken care of, that these rulers that do not treat people right, they will be taken care of as well. Romans chapter 8, verse 24 says, "For in this hope, we were saved." I titled this "Keep It Simple" because that's where simple is. We deal with complications as we are hearing about the struggles of the world, and it becomes a heavy burden. And we worry about people talking about World War III, all these other things that may or may not ever happen. And we hear about how much people struggle. We go through our own struggles, and we make it a complicated thing to deal with. But we need to keep it simple through the hope of Christ. We focus on him, keep it simple by being Jesus. We can deal with all these. We know how to react. I'm not saying that will provide money to people, but that will provide spiritual wealth and peace. That's the only way I can act. So let's keep it simple. Focus it on Christ. Everything we deal with, every struggle that is before us, the focus needs to be on Christ. So I think I kept it. I was warned not to go too long. I have no record of ever going close to an hour. So I wanted to stop there. So I went into verse 10. We have a long ways to go. But let me close with prayer. Lord, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for the world that you have placed us in here today. That no matter how many things are going on around this world, no matter how much evil we see, no matter how much lack of love we see, Lord, if we focus on you, we see hope. We see spiritual provisions. Lord, we see heaven. We see a place that nobody will go to take from us. Lord, prepare us to show that to others. Lord, keep it forefront in our hearts when we are watching TV or talking to our neighbors. Lord, let that hope come out from us. Go to those around us. Let them see you through our words, through our spirits, or through the smiles on our faces. Let them realize that is a smile that comes from you. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you that all the things that, all the evils that you point out in your word, that you also point out the solution. And the solution is Jesus, Lord. And thank you that we can be encouraged by that. Lord, let that sink into our heart. Get us through our days. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.